are going through the letter or book of Philippians over the next 2 months. So Pastor Mike kicked us off last week on Thanksgiving weekend through the first 11 verses of the letter to the Philippian church by Paul. And we're going to be slowly walking through this over the next couple months. Philippians, when I think of the New Testament, if you read the Bible regularly, you probably have favorite books of the Bible. Philippians is one of my favorites. I think that some of the messages, some of the themes that run through Philippians is so important for us today. Have you ever heard of this statement, one man's trash is another person's treasure? One person's trash is another person's treasure. And this is in so many areas of life. And so, you know, when you put on a garage sale, you're trying to get rid of stuff that you don't want anymore. It's no longer a treasure for you. And someone's going to come along and they are willing to pay money for it because it's a treasure for them. There's so many TV shows on cable network TV right now that are all about this. Whether it's like, have you ever watched Storage Wars, where people come and they bid on like storage units that have been left from somebody? Someone isn't willing to pay for their storage anymore, so they just leave it behind, and people come and they find treasures in there. No matter what it is, it has to do with what view you are looking at something, whether it's trash or treasure. What glasses are you wearing? How do you view it? And when it comes to trash or treasure, whether you're selling what you think is trash and someone else is selling a treasure, when you get rid of that, it's a win-win. It's a win on your end because you've gotten rid of something you don't want anymore, and it's a win on their end that they get something that they want. Today, we're going to be talking about this aspect of win-win that I think actually runs through a lot of the book of Philippians, but it comes out really strongly in the verses that we're going to be reading this morning. So just to give you a little bit of a context of the book of Philippians, Philippians is a church in northern Greece. And it's one of the stops that Paul makes along his way. He was instrumental in the founding of this church in Philippi. And the Philippians love Paul. And Paul has a ministry of going and planting and encouraging churches. And so they've gotten behind Paul, and they are financially supporting Paul and his ministry. And along the journey of Paul's ministry, he's been incarcerated. He's been thrown in jail. He's in chains, as Paul would say it. And the church in Philippi has heard of this, and they're concerned. They love Paul. And so they want to find out, how is Paul doing? So they send the members of their church, Epaphroditus, and they send him to wherever Paul is. Some people think it's Rome, but we're not totally sure where he's in chains. So they send Epaphroditus to find out, how are you doing, Paul? We want to find out, are you okay? And they send gifts. You know, when in Roman jails at that time, they didn't have a system where they fed the people in jail. You needed to have people that loved you, that cared for you, that would bring you food, that would bring you provisions. So you can imagine Epaphroditus is going to visit Paul in jail, and he's bringing money, he's bringing food, he's bringing things that is hoping to support and provide for Paul. And in verse 12, Paul says this. He says, I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I'm in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak message, God's message, without fear. So Paul's not in a good place. I think here in Canada, we have pretty good conditions when you are in jail. When I think of 2,000 years ago, I'm not so sure that was the situation. Paul doesn't have a way to provide for himself. He has to fully rely upon other people. And yet, when you look at his situation, Paul completely sets aside his own struggle and his own pain. He doesn't want to focus on that. He's wanting to write a letter back to the church in Philippi who's so worried about him. And he's not writing a letter to complain about his situation. He's actually writing a letter to encourage them in the midst of his situation. Paul wants them to know that in the midst of his struggle, in the midst of his circumstance, that God is there. In the midst of his bad situation, God is at work. God is actually doing fantastic stuff. That there is a purpose in the midst of the struggle. And the good news is spreading. He uses the word good news. This, in the midst of my situation, the good news is spreading. What is the good news? If you're coming to church, you're kind of new to church, you may be wondering, that word pops up several times. What does it mean when we talk about good news? It's talking about the life of Jesus. It's talking about the death of Jesus. It's talking about the resurrection of Jesus. That is the good news. That's an entire package. The life, the death, and resurrection. And what that means, not just for people who call themselves Christians, but what that means for the whole world. What that means for creation. What that means for humanity. And Paul's saying, listen, I'm in a bad situation. But it's okay because this good news that is good news for everybody is spreading. It's changing people's lives. The palace guard, he talks about the palace guard. Some people think that he must be in Rome because he talks about the palace guard. Maybe he's in Rome, he's in a situation where he's close to the center of gravity, to Caesar and to all of his cronies. And this palace guard is hearing of Paul's story. And they're wondering, Paul has a story. Why are you in jail, Paul? The guards that are watching over Paul must be wondering, is Paul in jail because he's a thief? Is Paul in jail because he's killed someone? What bad has Paul done? And as the guards are asking these questions, they're finding out that Paul's story isn't because he's a thief. It's not because he's a murderer. He's in jail because of what he believes. He's in jail because he believes in the resurrection of an unknown Jewish person that is transforming the world. You can imagine the questions that are going on. Why is this person in jail? And if he's willing to go to jail because of what he believes, why does he believe so deeply in this? Why is he willing to go to the ends of the earth, be willing to be thrown in jail for this belief in the resurrection of someone who's been crucified? Why is he willing to do that? Paul was willing to do anything for this message, a message that he was willing to kill for originally. He was someone who was against it. He was someone that was against the message of Jesus, and he was willing to throw people in jail and kill them. And now his life has been transformed. He's met Jesus. And everything has now been turned upside down. The thing that he was against, now he is for, and he's willing to do whatever it takes, even go to jail and even struggle through the disappointments of his situation. As I was going through this, I wanted to ask you a question. What is your situation? What is your struggle? What is your disappointment? What are you battling right now? Because when I look across this stage, Kim said earlier, she said, life is hard. There's truth to that. You don't get through life unscathed. Every single one of us is dealing with situations that are not easy. But Paul's focus wasn't on the situation. His focus was what God was accomplishing through the situation. What can God accomplish through your situation? What does God want to do in your life through your situation? What does God want to teach you through your situation? How does God want to impact other people's lives because of your situation? You might be looking at your situation thinking, I don't see any good in this. And would have been easy for Paul to see that as well. Man, this is hampering me. This is holding me back from what I want to do and what I'm called to do. And yet he was able to put on a different set of lenses. He was able to look out and see, man, God's doing something because of this. He's doing stuff in other people's lives. It's impacting other people because of this. Paul is suffering in an unfair way for a greater good. You know, sometimes you look at life and you're like, man, this is not fair. Life is not fair. And I think what Paul was experiencing of being in jail was not fair. And yet God was using that for a greater good. Do you know that Christ's suffering on the cross, the whipping of his body, the crucifixion on the cross was not fair? But his suffering was for a greater good. His suffering was for a redemptive purpose. And whatever suffering you're going through, God wants to redeem that. He wants to redeem it. He wants to take something that makes no sense, and you may never understand why. And he wants to ask you, can you trust me? Can you have faith in me that even in this situation, even the pain that you're experiencing, that I want to do something good? I want to redeem this. That is the message of Jesus. That is the message of Jesus. Sometimes there's this false message that says, if you get right with God, if you become a Christian, and you do the right things, things are going to turn out better for you and easier for you, and your problems are going to go away. And it's not true. I hear a lot of like, yes, amen, like noddings of heads, right? You know that. The problems aren't taken away, but God gives you a different set of lenses to see them through. He says, it is not without purpose. I want to redeem the things that you're going through. I want to do something good through it. Do you know that Paul's imprisonment was a necessary means for him to be able to give the good news of Jesus to the palace guard, the Praetorian guard? God cared about those soldiers. He cared about Caesar's household. He cared about those government officials. And I'm not assuming, you know, God is like making that happen, but you can imagine that, like, you're thrown in jail and you're going, God, why are you allowing this? And God is speaking to Paul and he's saying, just trust me. I'm going to put you in contact with people who are going to hear the message of Jesus that would never come in contact with it. Will God allow you to go through pain because he wants you to accomplish something for him? Have you ever thought about that? He was willing to allow Paul to go through pain. Because he cared. He cared for those guards. God is going to take you to places. He's going to take you through situations that are painful. Because he's like, there's this person on the other side. You have something to speak into their life. You have something to say. They're going to watch your life. And it's going to impact them. And I want you to hold on. Hold on to me. You're not going to understand it. It won't make any sense to you. But I'm going to do something in the middle of it. Some looked at his imprisonment and maybe thought God is punishing him. Paul, what did you do wrong? What misstep? Paul, you must have gone to the wrong place. You must have preached to the wrong people. Maybe you missed the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life. He was wanting you to go here, and yet you went there, and you're paying the price for it, Paul. Maybe some looked at it and said, this is just purely the devil. This is the enemy's work in your life. And maybe it was. But God is so much bigger than what the enemy wants to do. It's like, yeah. Satan's like, I'm gonna throw Paul in jail. I'm gonna take him off the scene. God's like, giver. Go do it. Because I have greater plans for Paul than the evil that the enemy has in store for him. Romans 8:28, many of us know this scripture, right? And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. It doesn't say that God causes all bad things, right? But what Paul is trying to communicate there is that he is going to take the bad stuff and he's going to turn it around for good. Are you on track with God? Are you dead set on serving Jesus? Are you dead set on loving Jesus? He's going to take the stuff that is meant for evil and he's going to turn it around for good. Because that is who he is. God works not in spite of, but through adverse circumstances. He works through adverse circumstances. I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 1:18. It says this: the message of the cross is foolishness, is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know is the power of God. You know, for us in the 21st century, we're so used to the cross. We wear the cross, we hang it from our necks, we put it on places like churches, and the cross has become a positive symbol. But we know 2,000 years ago, the cross for people wasn't a positive symbol. It represented excruciating pain. It represented pain for those who were considered to be the lowest dregs of society, the lowest of the low. And so when Paul is taking this good news to places like Rome, and he's preaching to them that the God of the universe would come and allow himself to be stripped naked and humiliated and whipped and ultimately crucified on the cross, that was foolishness. It made no sense at all. If God is God, why would he allow that? Why would he allow that to his one and only son? It makes no sense. But this is the core and this is the heart of the Christian message. And it cannot be lost for us today who are incredibly rich, who live in very comfortable places here in Canada, that this is still the heart of the gospel. That Jesus does call us. It's not just something that happened to Jesus, but he says, I want you to follow me. He says, take up your cross, what's considered to be foolishness in the eyes of the world, and come and follow me. Come and follow me. And this foolishness of worshiping a man who is crucified on a cross changed and transformed the world. It makes no sense. But that is who God is. We try to make sense of things. We try to make sense, and it's still not going to make sense to us. But God says, can you trust me? We have to adjust our thinking. We have to put on a different set of lenses. You know, Paul's imprisonment gave the believers around him a greater courage to share their faith. That was part of the positive. One was Paul got to share his faith to these soldiers, and another part was that it encouraged others. They were watching Paul, and they're like, if Paul can do that, why can't I? If Paul can continue to love Jesus and have a positive attitude and serve him in the midst of those circumstances, why can't I? And that's part of our journey, is that no matter what you're going through, is that people are going to find encouragement from looking at your life. I look at many of you who've gone through things that are much harder than me. And I'm encouraged by that and say, man, look at them serve Jesus in the midst of that circumstance. And that pushes me in my faith. And that's what Paul's life did. When I think of tough circumstances, later on in November, we're going to be touching on this again because it's the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. But when we think about what God wants to do, we would think in our minds that God's church would grow and it would expand when things are free, when things are more easy, when things are comfortable. But history doesn't show that. Even modern-day history, when we look at the country, the little tiny island of Cuba, for decades it was, the church was persecuted and squashed by Fidel Castro. If you chose to be a Christian, you wouldn't get the same educational opportunities that other people would get. You wouldn't get the same job opportunities. You would be thrown in jail. There's all sorts of persecution that the church went through. And the start, when they look at one church very specifically, the Methodist Church in the country of Cuba, that the start of Fidel Castro's persecution of the church, there's about 6,000 people that would have attended Methodist churches around the island. And 4 decades later, they went and studied it, and there's 50,000 believers in the Methodist church. Look at the country of China, and as it went through its cultural revolution, and missionaries were expunged out of the country, and Christians were thrown in jail and continue to be thrown in jail, and there continues to be oppression within that country. And yet, over the last several decades, it's been one of the fastest growing churches in the world. We look at the country of Iran today, you know, after the Iranian Revolution and the new government structures that they have. Once again, missionaries were pushed out of the country. The country has gone through decades of persecution, Christians thrown in jail, Christians killed. We're seeing an uprising today that, you know, where women are taking off their headscarves, and there's a huge uprising, but it represents so much more than that, is people desiring freedom in general. But in the midst of that today, in 2022, missiologists say that Iran is the fastest growing church today, even in the midst of persecution. Why is this? It's because the center of our faith is based on the cross. What is considered to be foolishness to us is not foolishness to God. In the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our difficulty, God wants to grow something. I'm going to continue here. I'm running out of time. I'm going to skip a section. Let me read you this. This is verse 20 to 26. This is what Paul says. He says, "For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I'll continue to be bold for Christ as I've been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. but for your sakes, it's better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I'm convinced. I'm convinced I'll remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow. Don't ask me why I'm crying. I don't know. Experience the joy of your faith. And when I come to you again, you'll have reason to take pride in Christ Jesus because of what he's doing through me. Man, I'm a mess. Okay. Jesus, you know, Paul looks at this. He's in such a situation. He's like, I know you guys are worried about whether or not I'm going to die, whether I'm going to live. And Paul is able to speak to the Philippian church, and he's saying, no matter what happens, it's a win-win. It's a win-win. He's like, if I live, it's all good because God continues to have a plan and a purpose for my life. He wants to continue to minister through me. He wants to continue to build up the church through me. He's like, it's all good. But don't worry about me dying, right? He's like, it's far better. You know what we've, like, I don't know, as a church, and personally, like, we've gone through a lot of death this year. Hold on, I just gotta grab a hold of myself here. So within our family, a couple of weeks ago, another family member passed away because of cancer. Catherine's uncle. So when I read this, you know, we, as Christians, we believe in healing and we pray for that. The reality is that most of the time, we don't get what we ask for. It's reality. And we struggle with that because we want to live and we want our loved ones to live. But when people go to be with Jesus, it's a win-win. It's a win-win. You know, her uncle that passed away like 2 weeks ago, 60 years old, he's with Jesus. He's with Jesus. It's a win-win. Paul doesn't know the future. He doesn't know the future. Do you know the reality was is that eventually, we don't think it's at this moment in time, but Paul was imprisoned again. We think that he got out from his imprisonment that he's in when he's writing the Philippians. He eventually gets out, but he's imprisoned again. And Nero cuts his head off. He loses his life. Why would God allow that to happen to Paul? Why wouldn't God save him from that? Paul was not daunted by that. He's like, I'm serving Jesus until my head gets cut off. And when it does, I win. Does I win? And that is the message. That is what it means to follow Jesus. Death is not something to be feared. And pain is not something that we run from. It's not something that we enjoy. I don't desire it. But when we have the eyes of Jesus, we see the redemptive work of it. Paul wasn't hampered by his situation. What is hampering you? What is hampering you? Because whatever it is, God wants to accomplish something that you don't see. He wants to accomplish something great through it. It's not about trying to avoid pain and discomfort at all costs. They will come. You know what? We just got through a time of COVID. We don't like to talk about it anymore. It's like, let's just leave it behind us and let's just move on. And we're hoping that we never have to go through that again. And I'm not so certain of that, you guys. Pain and discomfort and hard stuff is going to come. It's not about if, it's what you do with it that counts. Are you ready for it? God wants to prepare our hearts for that stuff. Because it's how you handle it that matters. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. I think for us in the 21st century, we have to ask ourselves, are we living for ourselves or are we living for the purposes of God? Because when we live for ourselves, the pain makes no sense and we try to avoid it as much as we can and we get angry and we get upset because we don't get our own way and we struggle and we tend to walk away from our faith. But when our life is purposed on Jesus and our life is focused on Jesus, it changes everything. Changes everything. Why don't you stand with me? God wants to give you strength. God wants to encourage you. God wants to prepare your heart. God wants to cause you and to encourage you to live a victorious life. When we look at the life of Paul, he lived a victorious life. But from the outside looking in, from just a worldly perspective, Paul was a failure. Because he sure didn't do well when it came to preparing for his retirement. Right? He was beaten several times. He was jailed several times. His head was taken off, and I can't say that several times. That only has once. But you know that when historians look at world history, some historians look at the influence of Paul, and beyond Jesus, they say that Paul has influenced the world more than anybody beyond the life of Jesus. Paul was not God. He was just a human being. But he was dead set on his life being set aside to glorify Jesus. And no matter what happened to him, he's like, it's a win-win. So Jesus, I pray over your church. I pray over Gateway. I pray over your church in Canada. God, I pray that we would look at the life of Paul, that we would look ultimately to the life of Jesus. And we'd see your redeeming work at play. No matter what struggle, no matter what hardship, no matter what pain, we know that you are there. That you are good. You are good. You are good. And you want to accomplish things that are far above our understanding. So, Lord, may your kingdom come. May your will be done in our lives, in this city, in this world, as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.